It's another edition of Pittsburgh Pop. Tim Benz, Rob Owen with you. You can check out Rob weekly at Trib Live. TV Talk, TV Q&A, read me daily. Breakfast with Benz here at Trib Live. Lots to get to today. Pardon my voice, battling a cold a little bit. First of all, Rob, I can see you down the Zoom here. People can't see you, but I can, wearing your Syracuse orange sweatshirt. That's yes, nice indeed. Of you to represent after getting our doors blown off by Florida State, but never give up hope. Let's start things off for our pop culture podcast, which we give people every week here at Trib Live. We begin with the regional Emmys this week. Who won what?
Who won what? You know, it's basically the same every year. So QED always gets the most awards, or I guess I should say almost always. I'm sure there was once upon a time where somebody else won more, but at least in recent memory, it's always QED winning the most and also getting the most nominations. So they took home 8 trophies. PXI took home 7, KDKA 4, AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh, and the Penguins had 2 each, and WTAE had 1. As far as the categories, PXI's awards included continuing coverage for the East Palestine train derailment. KDKA won 4, including news excellence and breaking news. That news excellence is kind of an overall award. And then in individual achievement, WPXI anchor Lisa Sylvester won for news anchor. Former WPXI reporter Angie Moreschi won for specialty assignment reporter. And AT&T Sportsnet's Pittsburgh's Dan Potash. Did I say his name right?
Yes.
Okay. He won for sports.
Unless
talent.
You want to say it like Pascal Dupuy and call him Potash.
Potash, yeah. And Joe Woes of WQED's Cartoon Academy won another award, Emmy for host of a program.
Yeah,
so
Joe's
those were
guy.
The
like
highlights of the of this year's regional Emmy Awards.
So what else did the Penguins win?
They won 2 awards. I am not sure specifically for what. I'd have to look.
Dan got 1, and then what was the other? Something about the
Dan's counts under AT&T Sportsnet, which
Okay.
2,
all right.
And then the Penguins organization separately got 2.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, congratulations to all of them. Did my appearance on Channel 4 get a regional Emmy for either the first 3 weeks? No, have I been shut out?
That happened more recently, so it would be under consideration for next year's Emmy Awards.
Under consideration. I like that.
Hey, if you submit, because God knows they're not going to submit you, probably. I mean, that's the thing. A lot of these stations don't. The reason they don't get a lot of nominations is because as a station, they don't submit. Folks have to do it individually. And it changes from year to year and news director to news director and GM to GM as to which station it is that actually does submit and doesn't submit.
How about the SAG-AFTRA situation?
Yeah. So here we thought that, okay, the writers have a deal. That means that the actors will follow close behind. But no. The AMPTP broke off talks on Wednesday, October 11th. They do not have any new meetings scheduled. It seems that the breakdown came when originally the actors were asking for a piece of a percentage, 2%, based on streamers' subscription count. And that was a no-go. So then they tried another tactic. Because the streamers had said no to the first tactic. And then when they tried the second tactic, the streamers got upset and said that they were adding something new too late in the game. But to me, it seems like, well, no, the streamers said no to number one, so they were trying number two. So I'm not sure why they got petulant and pouted and went home, but that's what happened.
Have you seen the new Frasier, and what do you think of it?
I have seen the new Frasier, and, you know, I have mixed feelings about it. As a multicam sitcom, I think it is funnier than many we have seen in recent years. And truth be told, we haven't seen that many because it's a form that has sort of gone out of style. But the thing about Frasier, it was so different and distinct from Cheers. You know, it was all new characters and, you know, everybody was other than Frasier was new and a new archetype. It was fresh. His relationship with Niles was new and fresh. This sequel series to Frasier, although the only person in it again is Frasier himself, Kelsey Grammer. But they have these other characters who are reruns of the characters from Frasier. So now you've got Frasier's son, who is very much like Frasier's dad, Martin, blue collar, salt of the earth. Then you have Niles's son, who is persnickety like Niles. So it is familiar and it feels comfortable because it feels like Frasier, but it's not new or fresh particularly, even though they've moved the setting from Seattle to Boston. So I'm sort of mixed on it. I thought it was funny enough that I will probably continue to watch it, but I don't know. It is certainly not a show that stands out in the way that the original Frasier stood out when it premiered.
Does Handyman from Hell stand out?
Well, the title certainly does, wouldn't yes, it you does. Say?
Yeah. So I think Handyman from Hell is also the basic working premise of what's the Kaley Cuoco show?
Based on a true story.
Based on a true story, right. Handyman from Hell. He's literally a handyman from hell. He's a handyman as a serial killer, for God's sakes.
Yes, and by the way, based on a true story, finally, just this past week, got renewed for a second season.
So it got renewed, but I was going to ask you about that. It got renewed, but we haven't seen anything new because of the strike and all that, right?
Correct. They only announced the renewal now, I think, because the writer's strike had been going.
Well, that's a good little nugget.
Yeah, but Handyman from Hell, which maybe would have been a better title for the Kaley Cuoco show, but oh well, is a film that was shot in Pittsburgh. Steve Hofstetter is a local comedian who moved to town about 2.5 years ago. He's got the Steel City Arts Foundation in Stanton Heights. He's also got another building that will be used as a studio up in Ross, the former Melwood Party Center that's now called Sunken Bus Studios. And he shot this film, Handyman from Hell, independently last December. It has cameos by Jodie Sweetin, Michael Ian Black, Frank Caliendo, and another comic. It's your basic Lifetime movie. He told me in the story that's up today at Trib Live that, they always aimed for getting it on Lifetime Movie Network. The guy who wrote it has written some other films that have been on Lifetime Movie Network. Their original title was Overhaul, and Lifetime came up with the Handyman from Hell title because, as he said, Lifetime's gonna Lifetime, which I thought was both funny and accurate. So it is competently made, but it is very much, a Lifetime movie.
And it doesn't sound like he's running from that at all.
No. If anything, he was worried that the title was a little too campy because the movie is not super campy. And I would say generally it's not. But it also has a little more humor than Lifetime movies typically have with those cameos by the three comedians who are in it. So, job well done to them that they got this thing made independently and got it sold to Lifetime. I did not know that Lifetime bought independent movies, but evidently they do. So that's good information to have.
I don't know where everybody is on the morning show, but I caught up for an episode or two over the weekend, and Jennifer Aniston has consummated her relationship with Jon Hamm on the show.
Ah.
Yeah, so very attractive intercourse going on there, Rob.
Yes, I heard about that episode. And is Reese Witherspoon back from space yet?
Yes, she came back from space. Yeah, she came right back down from space. Everything was fine there. Yes, as predicted, it was a matter of the signal going black for a minute or two.
Oh, yes, I remember you said that a couple weeks ago, yeah.
So now the premise is that Jon Hamm is back at the bargaining table to get UBA because Jennifer Aniston fixed what she had screwed up by refusing to go to space. And now they've fallen in love, or at least in lust. And yes, they've consummated the relationship after a contentious interview where I think they turned each other on with the way they were interacting.
Like you do.
They've got so many people to serve on that show. You know, they've decided to involve so many different characters, and they boiled it back down to the scandal route where they were at first, which is probably where they should dwell now.
Right.
I feel like they do a better job of doing the scandal and the backbiting and the soap opera stuff than they do the reflection of the world through the media's eyes routine that they tend to try to dwell on as well. So,
well, and this season they also went back to January 6th, and it turned out that Reese Witherspoon's brother was one of the people invading the Capitol, and she
because
covered
of course
it up.
He was. Yes,
has that been revealed yet to the public? Her cover up?
No, okay. The cover up has not In this most recent episode, he threatened to go public with it because he thought he was going to be found out anyway, and he was just going to like turn himself over to the FBI for a lesser sentence in hopes of a lesser sentence. But then Reese Witherspoon did an interview with the guy who had done that, and he was in jail, and he was talking about everything he has lost along the way, yada, yada, to basically spook him out of doing so, because she knew if he did that, then she would be in more trouble than him and probably lose her job because she spliced out the video.
Right, right.
That was one aspect of the show that went parallel with the Alex and John Hamm thing.
Yeah, so. Okay. Well, I assume at some point that
will happen. Have very much, Rob, and what I've noticed is I think about Reese Witherspoon and her brother in the show, and it feels like Les Miserables.
Jean Valjean,
and Javert. They keep interceding with each other at the absolute wrong time. That's where her brother is. Whenever they need to start another issue, the brother comes back. He's like the catalyst for everything that goes wrong.
I love it.
Last thing I wanted to bring up, this is sports related. How are the YouTube numbers, the NFL YouTube numbers?
Yeah, so I was reading in Bloomberg's Screen Time newsletter that NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube has attracted 1.3 million signups, which means that they've already exceeded the number of customers that Sunday Ticket reportedly had on DirecTV. I would guess that the reason for that is because that YouTube is making it available a la carte, whereas DirecTV did not make it available that way. I assume that's what accounts for the difference.
So that comes in line with news, and I'd like to get your opinion on this. There was another game in London this past weekend. They did three weekends in a row of games in London as the NFL continues to try to extend its footprint into Europe. And I think, I can't remember if it starts next week or if they take a break and then they do it a little bit later, but they've got games in Germany coming up as well.
Oh, wow.
Germany's got a really good NFL fan base. Like when they tried NFL Europe over there many, many years ago, Germany ended up with like half the league.
Interesting.
Germans love American football. So there's that, but they are talking about still the potential of having a London Super Bowl. And I don't know how they're going to pull this off, because something's going to have to be sacrificed. Either A, you start the game at 11:30, because in February, I believe it's a 5-hour time difference between London and New York. So if you start the game at 11:30, that's prime time for the usual kickoff in New York. Usually the NFL kicks off the Super Bowl at 6:30 New York time,
right?
East Coast time. So 3:30 in LA in the Pacific time zone. Are you going to play a game at 11:30 in London?
Yeah, that seems a little nuts to me, but I guess if the players all went over and stayed on their native time zones, that's how you would accomplish it. But would enough Londoners turn out to fill the stadium at that hour? I have no idea. I don't know what Londoners think of the NFL.
So there's that. And then the other end of that, if you don't want to do it that way, you can always kick it off at a normal time, which would be like 8:30. If you did 8:30 London time, then that's 3:30 here, which is not prime time. It's noon for a Super Bowl kickoff in LA.
Right. I can't see that. I can't see whatever network has the Super Bowl rights going for that.
I have no idea how they reconcile that.
No, I think the players stay up till 11:30 is the most likely thing, if it were to even come to pass.
The Super Bowl is the biggest TV event annually, every single year.
Yep.
Are they going to sacrifice that for logistics? Probably. They always seem to have in the past. If it comes down to it, TV always wins. So if it's a debate over TV or something else is going to lose, even if that something else is where the game is played.
Right. And also, yeah, that's kind of wacky. I don't know. We'll see if anything comes of that.
I don't know if any of those stadiums have fully retractable roofs either.
Oh, right.
I mean, I know there's soccer stadiums that are like partially enclosed, but that's different than fully enclosed, especially when it's February in London, for crying out loud. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that goes, but there's a TV angle to that to definitely watch, and how they would parse that and split it up, and what network would get stuck with a 3:30 start if they do decide to kick it off at 8:30 over there. I don't know how that would go down, but at any rate, that's something to track moving forward. Rob, what do we have for TV Talk and TV Q&A this week?
So TV Talk, in addition to the Handyman from Hell story that is already up on TribLive.com, there is a new Tree of Life documentary, and I talked to the filmmaker behind that That'll be in later this week. The show airs next week on QED. And then in TV Q&A, somebody wonders about reporters once being called ambulance chasers, but now they are chasing water main breaks. Why are they doing that?
Because you might not have water. I would like to know that personally.
But it affects such a small number of people. Why?
It's good video, Rob. That's why. There's nothing like water rushing down Washington Boulevard. We all know that.
Or it's easy. Crime, water breaks, easy to cover.
In-depth analysis from Rob on that front on TV Talk and TV Q&A. Make sure you read Breakfast the Bench throughout the course of the week. Lots of analysis about the Steelers coming out of the bye with the Rams game coming up on Sunday. Then three straight home games at Acrisure Stadium the next 3 weeks thereafter. This is Pittsburgh Pop with Rob Owen and Tim Benz.